It's been one heck of a crazy summer, and it's shaping up to be an incredible autumn. So, shall we get started? Welcome to You Are Doing It Wrong. First of all, I've got to thank everybody who has given me amazing feedback for this podcast. It's been rather overwhelming. And also, the people who have contacted me directly to ask for a session of consulting for a cuppa with me. So if you don't know what consulting for a cuppa is, basically, you buy me a cup of tea or chai or something that I really like. Meet me in Zurich, bring your problems about your game, and I will help you through the mire. That's the plan anyway. You can contact me at the end of this podcast on the details provided. It keeps me off the streets and out of trouble. Shall we get started? Let's go! So, we've covered all of the bits and pieces that you would expect to see in a game design document up to this point. You understand how ludology works and what the study of games theory is, not to be confused with game theory, which is something slightly different. And also, you have experienced through me what it means to put together an elevator pitch or get that buy-in from your potential end user and from your development team. But now we're going to drill down with our idea into something a little more, how do I put this, succeed or fail. This week I'm looking at the first time user experience, which is super important if you make mobile games. In fact, it's vital. And it's as important if you make console, PC games, etc. You have a very short window to be able to draw the player in to your idea, story, concept, genre, and you've got to be able to hook the player in and keep them there. For mobile game developers, this massively affects your DAU and your MAU. And we'll talk about daily average user, which is a DAU, and monthly average user, which is a MAU, later on. So today, first time user experience. We call it in the industry a fatui. It refers to the initial stages of using software. So according to Wikipedia, they use a very computer science biased way of approaching the first time user experience. I'm going to try and make this more games related. When we make a game, we want the player to not have an out-of-box experience, which is specifically about a physical product, but we want them to have some kind of virtual out-of-box experience. We want them to be able to see all of the main attributes of the game within the first few moments of clicking on the app, the icon, you know, starting the game or selecting it in their carousel or menu or whatever. The Fatui is responsible for setting the stage of the experience for the user. So this is predominantly an experience which is UX facing, user experience. So when you hear people use the term UX, that is what they're referring to. And what you want to be able to put across within your first time user experience is, what is the interaction between the player and the product? Back in the day, a million years ago, we used to call this human-computer interaction. It still exists, it's still very relevant, but we stepped it up a notch because the rate with which we make games these days requires us to be much more targeted and precise in terms of exactly what it is that we're looking for within the volume of target sales users that we have to create for. So what we're looking for in a first-time user experience is we're looking for user retention. Preventing customers from abandoning software after the initial exposure is a goal of good Fatui design. Wikipedia lists some really good examples of efforts in user retention. Some of these might apply to game development, some might not. The first one is speed versus quality. The first impressions on the initial user interface of an interactive application depend on multiple factors, and those are most notably speed and quality. You know, as we plow through the world of technology and things become ever more adaptable, faster, our brains become even faster, because remember that the blink of an eye is still the fastest thing. So if we can do things super quickly on our tablet, on our iPhone, or in Steam, for example, then, you know, we, the software developers and the game developers, win. If we have to sacrifice quality, sometimes we have to do it. Sacrificing speed particularly can be a problem, and they can result in overall sluggish performance or delayed responsiveness. We call that lagging. So sometimes when you have laggy game experiences, usually if you're playing LAN or online, it can be really problematic in terms of your overall games experience. Negative first-time user experiences can severely impact user retention. They can be related to overcomplication. I know this because when I create my initial designs for time management, there's always an assumption as a designer that everybody around us knows what it is that we're making and knows what we are doing. And that's not true. You have to remember that when you're making a game, your player doesn't have a clue. They don't have an idea of what it is that you're trying to make. They can't climb inside your head, can't read your thoughts. You have to show them. And so these days, my overall user experience flow is much more fluid and much more designed for undercomplication, simplicity, and less stages of things like registration or email and phone verification. A lot of these have disappeared anyway, especially since we introduced API systems in mobiles. So we use an API as a middleman or a conduit between, you know, potentially social applications such as Facebook, Twitter, etc., and our game, the game itself. This also separates server side and client side activities safely and securely. So if you've ever played a time management game and they say you can win 5 extra in-game cash if you connect your Facebook to the game, this is always a thing that I try and avoid, because, well, it's not safe these days to have too many things running all at the same time anyway on your social. It's easy to forget. But also, there's an element of privacy if you're a game developer, especially if you're a game developer, because you're really just an unreliable and a reliable witness all at the same time. So it's not always a good idea to log in and be a part of that community and get sucked in. It's always really good to have that professional distance when you're playing games. But that's a personal thing, that's just my opinion. That's not the same for everybody. So I've mentioned social login, and this allows users to create an account based on pre-obtained information via an API. And I've explained why that can be a problem, but more so a structured setup or a set of clearly outlined steps to completion is key for a successful Futui, but it can also be really detrimental to the first-time user experience. And then finally, paid upgrades. Offering opportunities to purchase upgrades in the first-time user experience can be advantageous, largely because most players who play games and people who download or access technology in some way, they want to play to win. They want to pay to have the best thing that they can have within that small window that they wish to play or utilize the product. So how does this apply to our game design? Well, the most important blast of gameplay for the player and the designer is the period of the first 60 seconds and the first 5 minutes, depending on the genre of gameplay and depending on the platform or device being used. But generally, this is a rule of thumb. In a game that I made a few years ago, I designed 2 key boxes. One was for 60 seconds and one was for 5 minutes. And inside those boxes, I put in further boxes to the maximum count of 4. The things that I really wanted to achieve in the first 60 seconds for my player and the first 5 minutes for my player. So in this game that I made, in the first 60 seconds, I wanted the player to land in the app or the game or the icon or the carousel or whatever you want to call it. Then, because I was doing a big MMO, I wanted rolling titles, animes, or some kind of quick time experience or quick time event. So here's two things that are both successful and unsuccessful depending on the user, the genre, the style of gameplay, the platform, the device, etc. Landing. Landing's problematic because landing is the first place that you discover you have a bug. You really have to iron out the creases of what happens at the time of landing. When a player lands in your app, it has to open. Just like if you take a small craft knife or a pair of scissors to a box that you ordered from Amazon. When you open that box, you don't want it to be full of packaging or you don't want it to be empty. You want it to have something in it. So that anticipation has to really matter. If it breaks at the time of landing or opening this box, you're in trouble. Rolling titles, animes, and quick time events. And these are also really important. I've seen over the past few years how important it is to get the game going as soon as is humanly possible. Back in my day of being a young game player, when I used to go to arcades, you would wait quite a while after putting your money into the arcade cabinet to see the title of the game, maybe rolling credits, maybe some kind of tutorial or aspirational gameplay. I'm thinking about games like Asteroids, Galaxians, Qbert, Pac-Man, those types of games, okay? But these days, we're geared towards a much faster game experience. So we want stuff to happen immediately. In the case of games like The Elder Scrolls, for example, what the player tends to find is that they are co-opted into the story and gameplay immediately. So in the case of Morrowind and Daggerfall before it, what you found was that you had to go through the various character creation or customization classes before you actually got to the game itself. Pretty much like if you were playing Dungeons and Dragons. But in Skyrim, and maybe if I remember correctly in Oblivion, what you find with Oblivion and Skyrim is that you're co-opted into the story immediately. It's a case of, here, I'm going to release you from this jail cell. Now come into the whatever because the transport leaves at whatever o'clock. So instantly you're drawn in Oblivion into this world where you've got to kind of help Martin Septim. And in the case of Skyrim, you've got to start to figure out immediately why these dragon attacks are happening. In the case of my MMO, the next two squares in my first 60 seconds of the first time user experience are also very important. Back then, and I'm talking about 7 years ago, it was very important to create an account. One of the reasons why it's really super important to create an account back then, and not necessarily now, is because we needed to mine the data to find out who our users were and what our user attention is. We also, in the case of my MMO, and for many MMOs around the world and games today, we have to make sure that we adhere to specific guidelines in terms of making games. For example, violence is acceptable to be mild for around the age 15 age group. But if you're playing games that are mobile related games and you're providing in-app purchasing, for example, you must be very careful to not draw in an audience below age 13. So you can see why it could be effective to create an account, because then you have an opportunity as a community of moderators to understand who your player is, so you can build a profile about the average player, but also that you can weed out the players who are potentially putting your game and your studio in grave danger from the law. And then finally, in the first 60 seconds, I've already covered this a little bit, the final square is lead-in narrative. Lead-in narrative super important, because in conjunction with the user experience stuff that I spoke about at the beginning, like the API or the speed or the simplicity with which a player starts to play a game, you've got to get that buy-in from the player in 60 seconds. They have to believe that what it is you're presenting to them and making for them is a world that they can sustain their gameplay activities within. If you can do that, you've won. Before we go into the first 5 minutes, I just want to give you a little bit of an ad break. And the ad break is really simple. If you have games or you're developing stuff at the moment that you really want to be talked about or advertised and promoted on here, please drop me a line at the details at the end of this podcast. Thank you. Okay, so let's talk about the first 5 minutes of gameplay. As I said, the first 60 seconds and beyond are the most important blasts of gameplay for the player and for me and you as the designer and developer. So we've got to take it very seriously that the first 60 seconds and the first 5 minutes are the super most vital, important parts of gameplay right now as you are designing your game. I'm referring to an MMO that I made about 7 years ago. So you might want to compare this to other games that you know or games that you have played or games that you're making. In the first 5 minutes, you have to give the player a form of an objective tutorial. So you have to be able to tell the player that what they need to do is go from here to here to make X happen. The player's not a fool. So if you're doing a first time user experience, leave it in there. If they fail that first 5 minutes and they want to go back again, maybe toggle the tutorial so that they don't have to play through the tutorial again. A good example of a game, a mobile game that does this, is Township. Township, whenever they've got a special feature or a new bit of gameplay, they often ask you if you want to run through the tutorial again. You can toggle that off and say, no thanks, I'll skip it, thanks. In the first 5 minutes, you have to produce your first mission. Listen, I talked about story before. Story is so important. Please do not bore the player with the entire backstory about how they got into your world. Why don't you use a mission to be able to tell the story? One of the things that you will learn during this podcast is that I am a connoisseur of the show, don't tell methodology. The more that you can show the player and the less you have to tell them, the better it's going to be for your gameplay success. I'm also a writer, and so show don't tell is pretty much writing 101. When we come to writing the story later on in this podcast series, you'll understand why this is really important. In the first 5 minutes, the player should also have reached their first personal goal. If you talk to some of my friends in time management or casual games or even hyper casual games, guys at Supercell, Cybo, King, Exeunt, wow, I can think of millions of time management game developers who I've worked with over the years. They will argue that a personal goal has to be achieved before the first 5 minutes are up. So please bear that in mind. But in terms of console and PC games, you know, the type of games that we've already talked about, like League of Legends, World of Warcraft, Star Wars, Deus Ex Machina, Mass Effect, Fortnite, Last of Us, those types of games, they will require you to hit a personal goal within the first 5 minutes of gameplay. Otherwise, you're going to lose your player. Oh, and what is super important, and we'll talk about this in great depth, is part of ludology. Give your player their first reward within the first 5 minutes. This is so important, because a reward is an active response to the player and the work that they've put in so far. So if you want to keep a player, you're going to have to reward them. But never reward a player if it means that you're going to bankrupt your studio. So don't keep giving them rewards, but reward them in a variety of different ways. You don't have to give them in-game cash. Sometimes you can just say, that was a really good job, or you can have a character pat someone on the back. These are the types of things that we did all the time in Halo, for example. So response is as important as reward. Don't forget that. And we'll talk about it in greater depth in the subsequent podcasts. So the key to a good first-time user experience is the prolonged user experience. Early experiences relate to good sensations, good vibes that a player feels when they're playing something, from either fantastic UI, which is the user interface, to awesome effects or, you know, something really great that the player receives within those first 5 minutes. What is important is prolonged experiences are significantly more tied to aspects that reflect how the product may become meaningful in the user's life. Social products are not the be-all and end-all. I make video games, and one of the reasons why video games still excite me like nothing else in the world is that in a video game, I will always be able to find a place that I can escape. The experience of a service or product's use is consistent of three main forces, and those are familiarity, functional dependency, and emotional attachment. These three forces are responsible for shifting a user's experience across three phases: orientation, incorporation, and identification. The incorporation factor is the most significant, and it makes long-term usability become much more important than the initial learnability. So we want players to learn, but we want them to dive deeper. We want them to incorporate the game experience into their everyday life, which is why you find people like me playing time management games on the tram when we're supposed to be concentrating on a meeting that we've got at 10 o'clock. Temporality of experience is the time or the chronology of how the user experience happens, especially for the first time user, is vital to the long-term usability of your game. First of all, there has to be an anticipation. The player has to say, yeah, I really want to open this. This is that exciting open the box part. And then there's expectations, and the expectations that we've just talked about include the orientation, incorporation, and identification. Then outside of that, we've got the familiarity, functional dependency, and emotional attachment. Think about the stories you've read where, and this is unfortunate for me to talk about, where people have died playing StarCraft 2 because they just never left the Korean internet cafe for 36 hours or whatever. You know, think about how many times you've been really bursting to go to the loo, but the problem is that you're at a really important, crucial stage, or you've got a boss fight and you just can't get out of there. You know what? This is functional dependency. You're experiencing the functional dependency side of the user experience. The actual experience within products have been found to be more influential to user satisfaction than in their prior expectations. So they come to your game or your app and they go, oh, I'm really looking forward to opening this. And then if you've done a really good job on the first time user experience, they will be even more surprised, and that super helps prolonged user experience. Be aware that depending on the type of game that you make, your player interest is going to drop off at around the 30-day point. So you've got to be able to get some really good measurements in that time. A studio that I worked with a few years ago, Cybo Games, are really amazing at keeping people interested. And one of the reasons why they're good at keeping people interested in Subway Surfers is because of the hyper-casual nature of their game. You don't have to think when you play this game. You just need to pull it out of your pocket, switch it on, and get stuck in. Sometimes you will find that you have competitions you want to have with yourself as a player, and not just try and beat the high score that everybody else is trying to do around the world. The two founders of Cybo Games, along with the managing director, are huge fans of arcade games, and therefore you can see the methodology of arcade gameplay within that game. Effective and successful services and products are designed for daily rituals, and they're also designed for the self. So daily ritual behavior is I have to do X. In the first time user experience of a game, if you can put that habit forming opportunity into either the narrative or the gameplay itself, you've won. Users have to become attached to products that support a self-identity that they wish to communicate in certain settings. So this is a good reason why apps such as Instagram and Snapchat are really popular, and why newer technological applications like TikTok have become so groundbreaking, more so than Vines, because TikTok has got much more buy-in from the design for the self. You know, who doesn't want to see a TikTok of BTS every morning in their inbox or on their phone or whatever as a broadcast message? I know that I do. And if you don't know who BTS are, you're fools. So before we finish, I've got not a cautionary tale for you, but a really great bit of advice. No one ever got into a game where there are barriers to entry or barriers to progression. What does that mean? If you put problems that a player cannot overcome early on in a game, or you tell them that they can't go to a certain level until they've achieved something, you've lost your player. Do not ever put barriers to entry or barriers to progression in your game in the first time user experience. Give your player the opportunity of seeing the entire world before they decide where they want to live. I think that's a pretty good analogy, really. And that should be a design for your life as gamers, developers, and designers. So let's just recap. The first 60 seconds and the first 5 minutes are the most important things that you will design as a designer. In the first 60 seconds, you should be looking at and drilling down into what actually happens for the player experience when they click on your game, or they put the cartridge in the console, or. And then in the first 5 minutes, you need to make sure that you've hit at least one objective. You've showed the player how to do something. You've given them a mission. They've got a personal goal that they've achieved. And more importantly, they've received their first reward. The first time user experience is not rocket science. The reason why you will find the first time user experience easy if you follow the rules is because you are the player. But as the designer, you have to make sure that you do stick to the rules, because that's the only way that you'll be able to retain the player. And finally, as I said before, remember, no one ever gets behind a game with barriers to entry or barriers to progression. So any entries that you have in your first 60 seconds or first 5 minutes are not gonna wash with your player. So forget about it. The idea is that we're creating games that players want to live through, and players really need to connect to. Give them that opportunity by opening that world for them and then letting them decide where they want to live. So until next time, keep making and keep playing.
Thank you for listening. You can tweet Kelly at Electric Geisha. Follow Your Doing It Wrong podcast where all good pods are casted. Email Kelly at doingitwrongpod@gmail.com.